Okay, guys, I'm going to need my guys to be ready because I need you to help me with the scripture verses this morning, okay? And we'll have them up on the screen in case you forget, okay? But I'm going to have you come and help me with the scriptures as we go through this. Well, good morning again. I am Scout Rivers, otherwise known as Pastor Scott, and I would like to share with you some things that we learned this week at VBS, otherwise known as Kids Camp. And I was thinking about what to share with y'all when I thought, you know, the lessons that we learned at VBS this week are good for kids of all ages, 1 to 99. So if you're over 99, raise your hand. We don't got anybody in here yet that's that old yet, but this is good for everybody. So True North is the geographic North Pole. It's a fixed point on top of the earth where all the lines of longitude converge together. And it's a reference point for maps and true north navigation. And you can see the little pole up there. It's opposed to magnetic north, which is the direction that a compass needle points towards magnetic or towards the North Pole. But it's currently located somewhere off in the Arctic Ocean there. It moves and changes over time. So true north is a fixed point, but magnetic north shifts. So if you've been in these seats before, chances are that Jesus is your true north. You've trusted him to be a faithful friend when your life's journey may have gotten lonely. You've relied on his unchanging love through life's ups and downs, and you've turned to Jesus' comforting words of hope when the world felt cold and dark, and you've had to face difficult trials. Most of the folks around you love Jesus, and we also love kids, as you can tell. We really love kids. We know that kids today, they may find their world untamed and wild, kind of like the great outdoors. We understand that kids can feel anxiety and fear depending on the latest news headlines or what's happening in their home or what's going on at school. And it can be hard to find your way in a world gone wild. But we long for kids to recognize that there's strength and comfort in Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the friend that can always be trusted, that can always be counted on, that will always point us in the right direction. We have Jesus, our true north. He's a rock-solid foundation, an unmovable and unshakable friend forever, now and for eternity. With that, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our true north. Thank you for always showing us the way and for always being there for us whenever we need you. God, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts today for what you would have us take away from this lesson, God. And thank you for the kids that are participating this morning. God, I pray that for their memory as they would have to recall some of our verses this morning, that you would help them to have good recall and not be afraid to come up and boldly proclaim your word. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning on this adventure. My VBS friends and I will be your trail guides this morning to make sure that the terrain is smooth and the trail is well marked. So sit back and relax and make the most of every minute that you have with us. I'd like to begin with day one, where we met Ponder the River Otter. My daughter, Samantha, has been a tireless leader at VBS. I think she's around here someplace, sitting with my grandchildren. And she's been helping produce content and keeping us on track during the week, in spite of literally being in the middle of moving here and taking care of my two grandsons, Eli and Noah. But when she was their age, her favorite word was hwaya. Hwaya. When I would tell her things like, well, we need to go to the store, Samantha. Hwaya. It's time to get up. Hwaya. Please don't touch that. Hwaya. Hey, you're getting a baby brother. Hwaya. Kids are naturally like cats. They have unending curiosity. And maybe that's one of the reasons that I get along so well with kids, because I'm also filled with a sense of wonder and curiosity. Where does God live? Where is that place? What are angels like? Boy, there's some funny descriptions in the Bible of angels, right? I don't exactly know what they look like, but some of the descriptions are kind of crazy. Why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? And how about this one? Why would God want to have a relationship with a rebel like me? That's a tough one that I wonder about a lot. And we learn from Ponder the River Otter that when we wonder, we can... All right! Right on cue, guys. Good job. And our Bible verse that day, the very first day, was... Can you stand up if you know it? Here we go. Are you ready? Yeah, right. We only learned the first part of it, right? But we learned it. Good job. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you for helping me. That's right. Life can sometimes shift pretty quickly, can't it? And we can feel unstable and fearful and wonder what is going on. And so trusting Jesus in those times can bring stability to times of uncertainty, when our health is failing or our finances are wrecked, or our own behavior has left our life in shambles. Sometimes God brings us to those places so that we have no other avenue but to trust Jesus. I guess we ought to move on to day two. See what I did there? Day two, we met Claudia, the Alaskan king crab. But I was wondering, wouldn't Claudia be a queen crab? I don't know. She said she was an Alaskan king crab. King crabs like to hang out together in what are called castes. There's a many collective knowns for groups of crabs, I found out, but the most common one is a caste of crabs. But there are other nouns for crabs, including a clutch of crabs, a congregation of crabs, like us. Don't be crabby. A mess of crabs, a pod of crabs, a raft of crabs, a scuttle of crabs, a shiver of crabs, and a swarm of crabs. A lot of different nouns there. Even hermit crabs are not loners. They're social creatures that thrive in groups. They live in colonies, and they require companionship to thrive, just like us. Right? God created us to be in community together. In fact, there's a Greek word used in the New Testament to describe this communion that we share with God and with one another. This word is so rich in meaning that it transcends casual friendships or casual associations. The word is koinonia, and it is an intimate participation, a shared life, a communion that unites us with Christ and with one another in a profound spiritual reality. God Himself lives in eternal community, in relationship, in the mystery of the Trinity, right? As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet we live amongst fallen sinners who can and often do let us down, even as family and friends. And sometimes we're left alone, feeling lonely. 52% of Americans report feeling lonely. 47% report that their relationships with others aren't meaningful. They don't have a deep relationship with anyone. Only 59% of Americans say that they have a best friend. That means that almost 40% of people don't have a best friend. In fact, 12% say they feel they have no close friends at all. Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., and Denver are the loneliest cities in the United States. Wyoming is the loneliest state per capita, followed by Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, and Delaware. These statistics highlight the widespread nature of loneliness, which impacts our mental, emotional, and physical well-being. But there is an answer. When we feel alone, we can... Good job, guys. All right, now we got our next Bible verse, which was on day two. Stand up if you know your next Bible verse. And it starts out with this. Here it is. Then Jesus said. All right. Good job. Okay. Thank you, Max. I'll call you on the next one, too, okay? So get ready. Are you ready? Go right there by, go up here by Mr. Josh, Max, okay? I found an anonymous little poem I'd like to share with you about a little harebell. A harebell is a, in Texas, we got any folks that have ever been to Texas? In the springtime in Texas, the world lights up with bluebells. Everybody know the blossoming of the bluebells down in Texas? It's beautiful. A harebell is kind of like that. I think it's a Scottish poem. Let me read this to you. Tell me, little harebell, are you lonely here, blooming in the shadow on this rock so drear, clinging to this bit of earth as if in midair, with your sweet face turned to me, looking strangely fair? Lady, said the harebell, nodding low its head, though this spot seems dreary, though the sunlight's fled, know that I'm not lonely, that I ne'er despair. God is in the shadow. God is everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? A little harebell seems so lonely, but God is in the shadow. God is everywhere. Day three, here we go. Anybody remember the name of this bear here?
Cody.
Yeah, Cody. We met Cody, the Kodiak bear. And I can remember back to when I was these guys' age, and I can remember being terrified. One day I was at my junior high school. They call that middle school, I guess, today. But I was in junior high, and my parents were supposed to pick me up after school, and I stood outside the doors of the school waiting. All the buses had departed, all the children had gone, and most of the staff was gone, and I just stood there waiting and waiting and waiting. And this was long before cell phones, and I just stood there helplessly waiting and worrying. We were supposed to be going out of town to my grandparents' house. Did my parents forget me? Did they abandon me? How was I going to survive without anyone to care for me? It seems nonsensical, but to a little boy, it was very real. And I was terrified. And I felt powerless. And I understand what it feels like to be powerless. And even as adults, we also can feel powerless, right? When you or a loved one is in failing health, when the doctor walks in and says that they found cancer, when the bank calls and says, you're $300 overdrawn, but you don't have any money to refill that bank account, when your spouse comes to you and says, I can't do this anymore. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says, talking to Paul, he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. My power works best in weakness. We have someone that we can trust who's even more powerful than Cody the bear. Somebody who is strong, strong like an ox. And when we feel powerless, we can... Woo! All right. Well, you guys got to get up and shout it out to them so they can learn that, okay? When we feel powerless, we can. All right. And our next verse comes from Matthew 14:27. Max, get up here. Get up here. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on, Judah, stand up. You guys, stand up. Here's our next verse. Say it all together. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage, I am here. Good job. All right. Matthew 14:27. Good job. That moves us on to day four, where we met Ernest, the bald eagle. Ernest taught us that eagles can effortlessly stay aloft almost indefinitely as they find what are called thermal currents up in the sky, and they just glide on them. And you've probably seen birds doing this before, but eagles are especially adept at this. Well, when we feel alone and powerless, helpless, this can lead to feelings of hopelessness. But just like Ernest and his friends, we find thermal currents to keep us aloft. And when we need hope, we can. There we go. I heard somebody over here getting it. Okay, good job. And our Bible verse is Matthew 12:21. How about you guys say it too? You stand up and say it really loud. Will you say it? River. Say it. No? Do it. All right. Mila, where's Mila? Oh, there you are, Mila. Say it. All right, good job, Mila. Thank you. Then finally on day five, and we're going to keep it pretty brief here, we met, who's this guy? Anybody remember? Bruce. Bruce and Moose, right? Bruce is my favorite because he sums up our time here this morning with this. When we need help, we can. Good job, guys. When we need help, we can trust Jesus. And our Bible verse is Matthew 28:20. And what does Jesus say? Into the age. Good job. All right, Mila. Now, That wraps up our time that we had in VBS, but I wanted to share a story with you that I read a couple days ago, and I thought it would be appropriate to read to y'all. I think it'll be an encouragement to some of the folks who have been longtime believers in Jesus, and I think it will also maybe give food for thought if you've come in here and you really don't have a deep relationship with Jesus. This is a quote. It is with some personal surprise that after 30 years as an atheist, I've come to say, I believe in God. My first memories of my relationship to religion is as an 11-year-old sitting in church full of skepticism. When I came to know what atheism was, I knew that it was descriptive of my own belief and, importantly, feeling. And when I was 13, my best friend died, and I declared a staunch and trenchant belief that God doesn't exist. It was the problem of pain and evil that sealed it for me. During the heyday of the new atheists, I became entrenched in a more academic sort of atheism, and I would spend a lot of my time modeling myself after their argumentative style, trying to talk as many people out of belief as I could. If you'd have asked me at the time, I would have said, I just believe in the truth. But the truth is, I was an angry young man who had experienced some of the worst life had to offer. It made me feel superior to others to rhetorically tear them apart. With maturity growing over time, I softened from that position, from that way of being, but my mind never changed. And that's where I've been for a long time. I began to believe that belief in God was something people are just either wired to do or not to do, and I was the latter. And I thought that it was mostly emotional reasoning because it was so clear to me that I had all the facts on my side. And it wasn't until recently that I became aware of how I had a clear emotional attachment to being an atheist. It wasn't just clinical analysis. I wanted it to be true because it comforted me in certain ways. There was not objective truth or transcendent moral grounding to how I had to behave. I just had to reason my way through these matters guided by Darwin and the scientific method. But here's where it all turned around, and this is the most important part. This is where Darwin became insufficient. I married my wife, and we had 3 kids in 2.5 years. And the love that I feel for my family, it's more than natural. It's more than an evolutionary-trained, oxytocin-triggered thing. It's supernatural. I've come to see this as a form of general revelation. It opened the door to God. It didn't happen suddenly. I don't have a road to Damascus conversion experience to share. Instead, that revelation pulled me toward a study of apologetics and theology. I've read a ton and listened to a ton, and it's so clear to me now that you cannot get a sense of the sophistication of the arguments of God's existence merely by reading them through the eyes of His most vociferous detractors. My heart changed before my mind. My heart changed before my mind. But the most unexpected thing was that my mind did change. Anyway, he says, "This is all very new to me, and I'm probably going to be a terrible Christian and fail to live up to His word. But I'm ready to try in my own small way to become an instrument of His will. I pray that He will show me the way." And I say to him, "Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. I can't live up to even the things I know I should. But thanks in part to the people around me, I'm able to walk through these doors trusting in Christ every Sunday morning and get up here." You see, his love for his children was what opened his mind and allowed his heart to be changed. When we wonder, when we feel alone, when we feel powerless, when we need hope, when we need help, we can. There we go. Where's my kids? Trust Jesus. Let's pray, and then we're gonna sing that song again. How about that? Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity we had to come together.